Agricultural programs are made possible with support from Cargill, featuring ProPricing Grain Contracts, a marketing program providing a variety of contracts designed to fit a farmer's performance goals and risk tolerance. Information on the web at CargillProPricing.com.
I want to say a big thank you to listeners for contributing during our Power Hour this morning. We've had preliminary results, and 238 listeners contributed during the Power Hour, a total of $35,577, and every one of those dollars will be matched. So you helped us raise more than $71,000 during the Power Hour, raising more money in less time. That's what it's all about. We appreciate your support. It's 8:50 and time now for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dan. And I want to also thank agricultural supporters who might have contributed to the Power Hour and took up Todd Gleason's challenge yesterday afternoon during the closing market report to, when they call in, say, Ag Rocks. The Midwest direct hog markets today are expected to trade mostly steady, but some firm tones may be seen in the Western Corn Belt. Terminals are called steady with top prices from $36 to $38.50. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $36. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Wednesday, October 10th, negotiated swine purchases were 11,391. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $42.50 to $56.76. The weighted average was $51.45, a loss of $2.16 from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $31.09 to $45.50, and the weighted average was $42.96. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 13,522. The base price range was $42.50 to $59. The weighted average was $56.23, a gain of 62 cents from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $34.93 to $47, and the weighted average was $43.73. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. I'd like to thank all the listeners, too, for their support during the Power Hour, the Ag Rocks, the weather supporters, and everybody else. And we do have the fun drive tomorrow through Tuesday as well. So if you didn't call in yet, you'll have your chance, and we hope you will, to support this wonderful service for the agricultural community. And as far as the weather goes, we'll have some more decent weather for harvest operations. It's going to be a little bit on the cool side again today, but no problems as far as precipitation is concerned. There may be a few showers in Indiana and Ohio and Michigan this afternoon. They'll be light, but that's the area that has the most unsettled weather, with cold air aloft leading to the development of clouds during the heat of the afternoon and some showers there. But for there on westward, it looks to be dry here today and the next few days. Now, as we head into the weekend and beyond, chances of rain do pick up some, so out in the western belt. So there could be a slowdown in operations, say, from portions of Iowa into Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and even northern Kansas, as a weather system will get organized out there over the weekend. It appears that some of the maps that I'm now looking at for Saturday have the showers out across southern Iowa and Missouri and fizzling as they head toward Illinois. And then on Sunday, it looks like some rain develops out across all of Nebraska, South Dakota, southern Minnesota, northern and western Iowa. There could even be a few showers Sunday morning in northern parts of Illinois and Indiana, but most of the action will stay to our north. And that's all in response to warmer air coming in. We'll have a warm front coming through. So north of that warm front is where the showers will develop. So Sunday, there could be some showers in northern parts of Illinois and Indiana on up into Wisconsin. But the area that will get the most rain will be out to the west. So northern and western Iowa, southern Minnesota, Nebraska, South Dakota, parts of Kansas will get the most. And that will continue into early next week. Some of those showers will head eastward across the central and eastern portions of the Midwest Corn Belt. But I think they'll become a little more spotty as they move eastward. Most of us will get some rain, but the amounts will probably not be near as great as in the western belt. And then later in the week, we may have another system come through, and the maps have some heavier precipitation around the 20th of October. Of course, that's so far out there that it's not really all that accurate. And I know for football fans around here, if you look way ahead, you don't want a lot of rain on the 20th of October, because that's the big football game that night at Memorial Stadium as the Wolverines come to town to battle the Fighting Illini. But anyway, there will be some showers from time to time next week in the Midwest Corn Belt, but I think we're still going to have several days of decent harvest weather. So we can just turn to the Southern Hemisphere here and talk about Brazil and Argentina, as we like to focus on. And the last few days, actually for the last couple of weeks, we've been focusing on improved conditions in Argentina, and more rain is now developing in Argentina. So it looks like there's going to be no real problems getting some needed moisture for the corn and soybean fields in the Argentina bean belt over the next week or two. Now in Brazil, it's been hot and dry. We're still talking about some showers and thunderstorms developing for western portions of Brazil. At least the northwestern portions have been very dry. Some of the southern sections of Brazil have gotten rain already, so the northeastern sections of Brazil, those are the areas that are going to remain the driest in northeastern Brazil here over the next couple of weeks. So as we go into planting season, the biggest concern for Brazil remains Goiás, Minas Gerais, São Paulo, and eastern portions of Mato Grosso. But it does look like the rest of Mato Grosso do Sul, southern São Paulo, and Paraná will see improvement. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Wednesday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 8.52 and three quarters, down 3.5. Last trade up 5.75. March, 8.60 and a half, down three quarters. Last trade up 8.75. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 8.53 unchanged. Last trade up 11.5. July, 6.65 and a half, down a quarter. Last trade up 6.25. December corn opened at 3.47, down a quarter. Last trade up 2.25. March, 3.64, down a quarter. Last trade up 1.75. July, 3.85, up 1.75. Last trade up 1.75. November beans, 9.69 and a half, up 1.25. Last trade up 2.75. July, 10.07, up 1. Last trade up 4. October soybean meal, 268.80, unchanged. Last trade unchanged. December soybean oil, 39.54, up 7. Last trade up 28. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning, Dave.
Let's begin with the soybeans, which have put in a pretty nice little rally this week. What did you
Yeah, they sure have. We probably will kind of slow things down on that this morning, up half to maybe 4 cents. Awful lot of rumors earlier in the week about 2 million fewer harvested acres in the U.S., but USDA typically does not make that big a change on this October report. Dryness in southern Brazil could abate given weekend rain prospects, as Ed outlined just a minute ago. Market's a little nervous about that, so I think that we'll be up, but it'll be a pretty modest gain this morning in the beans.
Broke up above the 20-day moving average overnight, but there's like a 17-cent gap there on the day charts. How much resistance is that?
That's going to be a lot of resistance, I think.
Turn your attention to the corn, your analysis there.
The corn market, again, the rumor is that we'll see fewer harvested acres on this report. The numbers are quite a bit lower than what the trade would expect. Production estimate at 13.5 is not at all out of line. We'll be up a penny to 3 cents there. Good commercial support on dips on the corn this week looked pretty attractive.
Turn your attention to the cash side of the market. We're noticing here where harvest is done, the basis is getting a little bit firmer. How about over your way?
Basis is getting firmer. Corn bean harvest is complete here. Corn harvest is 90% done. So we may not be seeing as much of a bounce back in the corn basis as you guys, but we are seeing basis improvement. Basis improvement on the wheat as well. Dave, we're going to be 8, maybe as much as 12 or 15 higher on the wheat again. Strong basis, strong overnight market, old crop, new crop spread narrowing. Talk of ending stocks under 300 million bushel. How much more bullish can we get?
Is there a chance that we push through that 13.5-cent gap post-report, maybe Friday, maybe next week?
Oh, I think we're going to try to do that. I don't know if we'll get the job done.
Turn your attention to the Merck. What's the action there today?
At the Merck, the cattle market, I think, will be stronger in anticipation that maybe yesterday's Nebraska trade was a fluke and we should see cash too high or something like that. On the hog side, I think we'll be lightly mixed, although we'll see pressure from the bellies probably hurt the front month for hogs. Hmm.
Ellen, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Ellen Dearden of AgriView. She is in Morton, Illinois. She joins us every Thursday morning on the pre-opening commodity market report. We have a listener comment line. Give us a call at area code 217-333-0853. And tell us what you think about our agricultural offerings. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.